welcome back to Badass Bitches Tarot for the week of October 13th through October 19th. This is your host, Cardzi B. As many of you already know, I'm a tarot reader and fashion industry survivor based in Manhattan. I began learning tarot when I was still in grade school and since then have turned that hobby into a tarot practice and the creation of my own deck, Badass Bitches Tarot by Cardzi B, as well as various tarot products and events. Hello from Toronto. Oh my gosh, my second home. I'm so excited to be here. And thank you to all of you who came out to Ohm Pop-Up yesterday. Happy, happy Canadian Thanksgiving and happy October 13th blood moon at 5:08 p.m. tonight. Literally tonight, aka the full moon in Aries. So we are in the thick of Octoberween. So I am in heaven. I am in just my witchy glory right now. A little nerdy backstory about why this is my favorite full moon of the year. So, okay, every full moon occurs in the opposite sign of the sun. So when we look at the astrological wheel, last month's full moon, for example, was in Pisces while the sun was in Virgo. So this means that this month's full moon is occurring in Aries while the sun is in Libra. I am an Aries rising and Libra moon, so this full moon already feels really exciting and feels like I have an energetic reset. It's, you know, the lunar energy being in Toronto. I am super psyched, and every year I get so excited for the full moon in Aries at the end of Libra season. So as I mentioned in the monthly overview, I absolutely love Halloween, aka Samhain, and I really feel like this is an energetic reset in and of itself. It's always been my new year, and I've later come to learn that it is actually the new year in Wiccan practices. So I feel like this October's full moon in Aries is the jumping off point to like really start to get to that Samhain energy. This specific full moon in Aries is a great time to give gratitude for all that's come in since September, aka that energetic harvest period. It's likely that most of us will feel a little bit more energized again thanks to that Aries forward motion that we're experiencing with this moon. So it's a good time to express gratitude and also put any last minute touches on projects because of that energy. It's a great time, you know, if you're finishing something up to put that last stamp, that last touch on it. It's also a really good time for a super sexy date night. So for those of you who are in a relationship or dating, it's, you know, tonight specifically is a good time for that. It's a good time to connect with like your partner, your core peeps, your family. I'm personally spending this with my Toronto fam, and ideally we'll be outside for some part of tonight so that we can feel a little bit closer to that lunar magic. I just wanted to say also before I get into, we dive back into October's cards, I wanted to give a big shout out to Foxglove Farm for sending me the magic balm for my hand. For those of you who've been listening to the podcast throughout September, I mentioned a couple times that I was struggling with skin problems on my hands, and Foxglove sent me a gorgeous healing package complete with like an aura reset tea, a bath, and this amazing magical balm, and it's been helping so much. So definitely check out foxglovefarm.com and at Foxglove Farm on Instagram. Their products are all vegan, organic, cruelty-free, and truly magical AF, and honestly, I'm not sponsored by them. It was just through kindness and through a beautiful energetic exchange of them feeling, you know, they received something from the podcast and in return sending me this healing magic. So thank you so much. I'm so grateful for you. Back to our October cards. So as we went through in the monthly overview, the first card we have from the Order of the Golden Dawn is Justice. As you know, Justice is ruled by Libra. We're in that Libra season, air energy, and Justice using that air energy really helping us to find balance of what is fair and just for ourselves and to help us put boundaries in place accordingly to kind of make those things a little bit easier to maintain, a little bit easier to keep in balance in our world as a result of putting boundaries up of things that are not necessarily aligned. We also, as our second card, have Four of Swords, aka the Kim Kardashian card in Badass Bitches Tarot. And this card is all about acting strategically. And often when you act strategically, you're not able to please everyone around you in the process. So this card kind of comes as a warning that like Kim Kardashian, in looking out for you, you can get some haters in the process. But that being said, sevens are victorious cards. They're ruled by the Chariot. So this month could bring an increase in finances, recognition at work. It's a level up, definitely, but it can also incite jealousy of others. But in that, sevens often present are good problems to have. You know, with Seven of Swords, who would not want Kim Kardashian level of abundance, even if it does come with some haters? It's not, you know, nothing that you are doing that's necessarily negative in this. It's just that you can't always make everyone happy. So Seven of Swords is kind of do what you need to do to proceed strategically, obviously, you know, with your highest interests and your highest integrity at the soul of the decision-making process. All right, on to the card of the week. Eight of Wands. Hello, Rue. Oh my gosh. Okay, good week coming up. Good week. We've been getting pretty good weekly cards for this month. In the OG Smith Rider Waite, Eight of Wands, this card is one of the few that does not show an individual, but just the objects themselves. So we see eight wands shooting through the air like arrows flying forward. Avi, this is depicting fast movement, you know, fast forward motion. Astrologically, Eight of Wands is ruled by Mercury and Sagittarius, i.e. the planet of communication, Mercury, transiting through the fast-moving, fiery constellation of Sagittarius. In the Badass Bitches Tarot, I drew this card as RuPaul because, one, who doesn't love to see Eight of Wands, and who doesn't love RuPaul? And two, when Ru crowns a queen the winner of Drag Race, they have that instant fast luck into the spotlight, right? Like overnight, they're getting bookings, they're getting paid gigs, they're getting interviews in the spotlight. So I love seeing this card and believe that this often brings fast progress, like shooting an arrow. And we see these wands as arrows being shot in the traditional deck, and then also in my deck, it's literally RuPaul shooting eight wands into the air. I really feel like Eight of Wands encourages us also to focus on what we're wanting to accomplish or manifest this upcoming week. It's like the clearer your intention, like shooting an arrow, you know, and aiming very carefully, the clearer your intention, the better the rewards are going to be and the closer to what you're really wanting to bring to fruition. So yay, that's a very optimistic kickoff to October's Ask Cardsy B segment. All right, so our first question comes from at Partners in Crime Vintage. Hey Cardsy, can you tell me a little bit about your morning routine? I really struggle with mornings, and every spiritual teacher and guru I read or listen to says that morning meditations and practices are incredibly helpful. Any tips? Awesome question. And in full disclosure, I am not 100% consistent every morning. I'm not an early morning person at all. And when I have to be at a meeting or a client's office early, sometimes I slack. But I do try to do things that I feel are impactful in self-care. And I have to say, when I do them and I make an effort to remain consistent, I see a difference. I feel more energetic and I see an impact in the flow of my day. So I really start the night before when I go to sleep, and I go to bed and I listen to a guided meditation by Louise Hay, and I place any crystals or herbs that I'm working with under my pillow. So I have several all over my apartment, but if I'm working with an energy specifically and there's a crystal that is helpful in that or an herb, I place it, and with herbs, I place it in a little like sash under, like a little sachet under my pillow. Mugwort as an herb is really good for psychic awareness, so that's something that I work with a lot. Lately, I've been working with malachite, which is a stone of transformation and healing, and it's related to the heart and throat chakras, and it's also aligned with Libra. So I've been working with this since Libra season began in late September. I also sometimes work with intention and spell candles, and I usually light them right before I go to sleep and place them on the windowsill closest to my bed. So everything is really about intention, and that's how we focus our energy, and it's how we shift where things are headed when we really utilize our intentions. I work with a shaman who said America's all hung up on attention deficit disorder, but that's not really the greater problem. The real issue is that we have an intention deficit disorder, and that really clicked with me. I try to put intention in as many parts of my day as possible, and I do see the impact of that. So that being said, my morning routine, I set my alarm, and I do that, and I change it up. I set my alarm to a song that I really want to move through the day with that energy, and I change this all the time. I'm currently really into Whitney Houston's Higher Love. It's funny because two of my besties sent me this song saying it reminded them of me. And shortly after, I got a sweatshirt from Psychic Sister in Portland. And it was because it was for Sagittarius. And I later noticed that the little like byline text said, "Where's that higher love I keep dreaming of?" which is the chorus of the song Higher Love. So I feel like there's something to that. And I've really been trying to start my day with that energy. I love the message of that song. So that's been kind of how like my alarm rings, it plays that song. The next thing I do is I kiss my little teacup Pomeranian 3 times on her third eye. I say thank you to her and to the Empire State Building outside of my window because I'm so, so grateful for Lola and to live in this awesome city and for my awesome apartment. And then I mist both Lola and myself with rose water and say vibes up. That's how I wake up. She used to hate this, but she seems pretty cool with it now. I think it's actually helped her chill out. And then I get up and I put on this black lacy kimono robe, which makes me just feel very glam and pampered in the morning because, again, I hate mornings usually. So it tries to, this helps me try to kind of feel more in my element. And I love this robe because it's very Jessica Lange's character, Fiona Good, in American Horror Story Coven. So I do that. I brush my teeth and then I start to make my morning matcha. And throughout the month, I actually make herbal infused honeys. So I take honey and I crush up a bunch of different herbs, obviously that are safe to consume and eat. And I let them sit over a moon cycle. So this month I made a sexy psychic honey with rose petals for love, Damiana for that kind of like sexy Aphrodite beauty confidence, and mugwort for intuition. So I let this, again, marinate in the honey over one full moon cycle. And then when it's ready, I take a teaspoon of honey and put it into my matcha every morning. And as I'm adding that, I really think of the intentions of those herbs, like why I created this honey, the thing that each of those herbs like brings in a healing way. So I think about that as I'm making my matcha. And then as I drink it, I sit down, and then afterwards I meditate for 5 to 10 minutes, depending on how much time I have. I know people do a lot more than that. I'm better at my meditations at night, but yeah, my mornings are usually 5 to 10 minutes, and then I either work out or I shower and get ready for my day. Before I head out, I use my journal to work with a shamanic hoop practice, and it's really about kind of journaling what I want to keep in my energetic hoop or field for the day and what I want to release and keep out. And after that, I pull a card for the day just asking, hey, like, what does the universe want me to know? What energies are kind of coming into my field for the day? And then if I'm leaving my apartment as opposed to working from home, I usually give myself enough time, if it's possible, if it's close enough, if it's under a 40-minute walk, I'll give myself enough time to walk. And then I choose podcasts or music to really set the tone for my day. And that kind of eases me in to the activity, the client, wherever I'm headed out to. I honestly do see a shift in my mood and how my day plays out when I put these practices into play. And the days that it's like a super early hectic morning and I was up the night before watching Ancient Aliens till 2 a.m., I am a little more realistic and I'm kind of like, okay, kiss the dog, rose water mist, shower, pull a card, go, and then do a walking meditation en route. So sometimes I have to, you know, edit that down accordingly, but I do encourage you to play with different rituals and keep track of what is most impactful, what feels easy and nourishing, but still manageable to add into your routine. I would love to hear what you guys are doing, what's working for you. So please comment below or DM me and let me know, because I always love to hear new tips, things that are especially, I'm not a morning person. So it's funny that I'm even able to get up and do these things because I used to just roll out of bed, hit the snooze until the very last minute and then run out the door. So I've noticed though that it does really increase and enhance my day. So I do encourage what's feasible for you. Okay, question number 2. I really love your sense of humor and optimism and definitely felt inspired by the story of your ex and how seeing her on TV actually helped you release the energetic cord to that relationship. Any advice on staying positive in situations like this, as I tend to lead toward the dark side, at UrbanWitch88. Thank you so, so much, Urban Witch. That's like amazing to hear because trust me, I am not all rainbows and sunshine. And I definitely have my 3 of Swords go into darkness moments. And I feel like that's totally okay and even constructive to take it there. That situation definitely did not instantaneously go from, okay, noted, I release you with love and light. I mean, I spent an entire weekend on the North Fork with my besties, blasting CeeLo Green's Fuck You, replacing the refrain with... Oops, she's a lesbian. Just fuck, you should know, old man. So yeah, I feel like going into that 3 of Swords... dark, heartache, and pain to come out through 4 of Swords, which is all about going within, filtering out what doesn't serve you, is a big part of the process. I know I'm a Sagittarius, and by nature, I focus on that fun, the light, the party, but I definitely respect and encourage the dark side of things to be explored. And integrating both the light and the shadow is really, it's a really powerful part of the process. And that always reminds me of the moon card, which is half that glam, iconic early 2000s Britney in my deck, and half shaved head, meltdown Britney, because we all have both inside of us. And traumatic situations can trigger your shaved head Britney wanting to bash a paparazzi car in with a big umbrella. And it's really about, you know, for me, acknowledging both and that I'm able to really fully go into Three of Swords, go through it, and work my way into that calm, peaceful serenity of Four of Swords. I hope that makes sense, and I also, you know, hope that you tolerated my Three of Swords style CeeLo remix there. So, all right, next question. Number three, I recently listened to one of your older podcasts where your guest spoke about being able to read tarot with a deck of playing cards. Can you tell me a little bit more about how this works since they're not the same number of cards as tarot? All right, absolutely. So when you break it down, and, you know, if you are a tarot reader and you're used to a deck of 78 classic cards and you're, let's say, trapped in a cabin in the woods, horror movie style, and you only have a deck of playing cards, this is kind of how you can do a reading from there. First thing is the suits, right? So spades or swords, I think, like, pointy like a sword. This is my way of remembering. It's kind of like when you do Roy G. Biv to remember the rainbow. This is just my, like, grade school teacher way of teaching you guys this. So spades are swords because they're pointy. Hearts are cups because cups are love energy. And diamonds are pentacles because I think, like, bling bling, diamonds are earthly riches, like pentacles. Clubs are wands. I don't really know why on this one. I guess in the old time cards, wands were also sometimes called rods, and they were drawn as sticks with leaves, so that's kind of club-like. And also, I identify with wands the most, so I wish it was a more glamorous shape, but I like to personally align this with clovers being a sign of luck, and clubs look a little bit like clovers. Wands to me are all about luck, passion, ambition. So that's my whole backstory on the clubs, but whatever works for you. So all of the minor arcana are repped. So ace through 10, same, same. Business as usual. You know, ace of hearts, ace of cups, 10 of wands, or 10 of clubs, 10 of wands. So that's all exactly you can translate directly in the tarot. The court cards, though, only have three in a deck of playing cards where tarot has four. So jack, king, queen in the playing cards, there is not a page and a knight. So my rule of thumb here is when I get a jack in playing cards, I usually meld the energy of the page and knight of that suit. And because there are 52 playing cards, 54 if you count jokers, and again, only 78 tarot, there's no major arcana to be found, sadly. And that's, to me, why I personally, people feel differently about this. Like, I don't love, like, I could read with the tarot or with a playing card deck in an emergency, but I don't love to because the major arcana, I think, are so, so important. But so I have a little system that I kind of created myself where I charge the two jokers in a deck with major arcana cards that I feel are present in a situation. Usually one that leans more towards light and one that leans more towards shadow. So if I was, say, because it's Octoberween, trapped in, like, the 1984 cabin in American Horror Story in the woods and only had a deck of playing cards to read my fellow camp counselors, I would maybe charge one of the jokers as with the sun and one with the devil, or one with the world and one with the tower. And I do that by penciling in on the jokers. That's just my own little spin. Then it can be erased. You can reuse it later if you don't get murdered in the cabin. JK. Anyway, then you can shuffle and lay out the cards in whatever spread you would usually work with. You can also apply this kind of translation if you find cards out in the world. I don't know if you ever randomly find playing cards. I often do. It's funny. I get a lot of my messages, I always say, through music, through songs, and then through playing cards. So within last week alone, within 1 week, I found, in this order, six of spades, seven of clubs, eight of clubs, ace of cups. So in a tarot reading, if I were to get six of swords, I would think, okay, going on a journey to release some baggage. And I'm actually on this trip right now to Toronto, which I consider my second home. And I usually find my time here to be really cathartic and healing, because my friends that I consider my family are here. So six of swords moment, check. Seven of wands, because seven of clubs was the next card I found. Keep up the hard work. Seven of wands is often the card of perseverance towards a goal where it feels like, oh, I've been going and going. And it's like, keep up the hard work. You're almost there. Then I found eight of Clubs, also Eight of Wands translation. And woohoo, that was literally our card of the week. And one of my favesies, RuPaul, fast good luck coming at you. So hopefully that Eight of Wands is now going to come into play after this trip and after the work I've been putting in, you know, to my practice, to my own businesses over the past period. And that's going to come to play in Eight of Wands energy. And then the final card, Ace of Hearts, which translates to Ace of Cups, new love, perhaps? We shall see. I haven't experienced that yet, but I'm still in the Six of Spades or Six of Swords in this reading. So I'll keep you guys posted. But yeah, thank you, universe/streets of New York City, for my free reading in playing cards last week. So it is a fun way to translate if you're familiar with tarot. It's also, you know, as I think it was when you talked about the podcast, you heard one of my guests speaking. I believe it was Christopher Beavers, who is my shaman, and he was saying it's really good for numerology work, for getting timelines, you know, anything working with numbers, time specifically. And that is true because you have all of the numbered minor arcana. So it's, you know, and some people love to read with playing cards. It's all whatever works for you. All right, on to our last question. Would love to learn a little more about Samhain, spelled Samhain. I sometimes mispronounced it until I was hearing it because I'd only read books about it, but it's spelled Samhan, meaning summer's end. So this person is writing in saying, I would love to learn a little more about Samhain, anything you can tell us. So yes, it is pronounced Samhain. It means summer's end, began as a Gaelic festival, pagan festival, marking the end of harvest season and the beginning of winter. So in Gaelic pagan tradition, there used to be the light half of the year and the darker half. So Samhain was kind of like, we're celebrating the end of it was a fire festival. And not like fire festival, like busted on an island that didn't really exist and was a big scam, like with fire, lighting fires to celebrate and you know, be grateful for the abundance that the harvest had created. And in Wiccan tradition, Samhain is actually the start of the Wheel of the Year. And it's the first of 8 Sabbats of the year. So the Sabbats break up time periods. So it goes Samhain and then Yule and throughout the year. So it's also known as the time, it's kind of like the witch's new year. It's known as the time when the veil between the physical world and the spirit world is the thinnest. And therefore it's really a time to honor those who have passed, you know, on out of the physical world. It's a time to honor our ancestors. If you keep an altar, it's a really good time. Like I personally reset my altar, every astrological season. And then I do like kind of a special big reset for the 8 Sabbats, but whatever works for you. But if you are someone who keeps an altar, it's a great time to reset your offer and kind of present things that are representative of the harvest. So pumpkins, squashes, I like those little baby pumpkins, but that's like harvest can be like, if you're harvesting cash money, you can put some cash money on your altar. Like I always say, like customize this. I'm definitely not a very traditional, like it has to be this way. It's really what feels good for you. So it's about anything that represents the harvest that you're, you know, showing gratitude for and also presenting offerings to your ancestors. So for me, my grandmother really loved roses. So often when I'm like, giving an offering to my grandmother, I put roses on my altar if I'm remembering her. There's a beautiful locket that she gave to me when I was a little girl. I put that on my altar frequently. But again, one of my dear friends and badass witches, the half-ass witch at the half-ass witch on Instagram, she offers glass bottles of Pepsi to her great-grandmother. So it's like, make this custom to what feels right for you. It is a great time though to really reset your altar and give intention to gratitude and remembering your ancestors. Samhain is also about closure and rebirth. Hello, Scorpio season right around the corner, right? So by the time we're in Samhain, which is Halloween, we're going to be in that Scorpio season of shedding, transforming. And that also leads to like, as we shed whatever came through the last year since last October, we're entering into, we're ready for a new skin. We're ready to grow into that new shell, that new skin, you know, coming in with a clean slate. It's so funny because as far back as I can remember, and I know this of a lot of people that also identify as witches, mystics, etc., it was my favorite holiday from late August on, went from early childhood to now. Like as soon as I see the first little like pumpkin in the drugstore, like, you know, like little jack-o'-lantern candies and whatnot, I began to get excited for October 31st. I've always experienced this as kind of a refreshing New Year celebration. And the older I became and the more I studied from an academic standpoint, Wiccan and pagan culture and their rituals, it just really made so much sense as to why I gravitated toward this time of year and toward this holiday, and it held such resonance in my life. Another Samhain ritual that I've always loved is the costumes. Avi, I'm a fashion girl, and I've been known to have up to 3 costumes in one Halloween. But now the most, the most well-known reason that people always associate with, dressing up from Samhain was because the veil was thin between the living and the dead, so people had to protect themselves from potentially bad spirits. So they dressed up in costumes to ward off these, like, bad ghosties. And that is true. From one perspective, that was like one of the reasons that this tradition came into play with Samhain. But the other side of that is because that it is in fact the witch's new year. It's a time to think about who you want to become in this upcoming year. As you shed that skin, that Scorpio shell of last year, it's kind of choosing a costume can be like, what aspects of myself am I growing into or celebrating or owning? And that can be, again, shadow or light. So I always like to like choose my costume with that intention. So this year I'm going to a Halloween ball at the McKittrick with one of my besties, and I'm going as Roxy Hart from the musical Chicago, and she's going to be Velma. And though I don't actually intend or want to be a homicidal singer per se, I do love that Roxy Hart is this like really strong female character that was fiercely independent, unapologetically fabulous, and she just owns her love of sparkle, shimmer, and the spotlight. So I'm like, yeah, I'm down. I'm down with that, of bringing that into the coming year. So I hope you guys are as jazzed, bad pun, so to speak, as I am for Samhain / Halloween this year, and have some amazing, whatever rituals work for you in that planned. I love it because, yeah, it's a time of gratitude. It's a time of rebirth. It's like the best to me of all of the Yule holidays of winter, Yule, New Year's rolled into like one fun Octoberween celebration. All right, so before we go, as always, I'm going to give you guys a quick recap of the cards. So this month, we have RBG, aka the Justice card, reminding us to use our intuition and our intellect to decipher what is fair and just and to place boundaries accordingly. We also have that Seven of Swords energy, indicating a strategic victory that could be good for you, but not necessarily make everyone happy. So the message in Seven of Swords is ignore the haters and enjoy the win. We also have this week, Eight of Wands, aka RuPaul, aka Eight of Clubs that I found on the street on Fifth Avenue. So Eight of Wands is bringing in that Merc and Sag, forward motion, like fast good luck coming at you, fast communication, things moving quickly in your favor. So good cards. Again, Instagram Lives, we finally found a home, Monday nights at 7:30 Eastern time. If you haven't tuned in the past, Lives are an awesome chance to ask your own personal questions for a free live mini reading. You can also send through questions in advance via my DM at CardZB or at badassbitchestarot.com. If you're not going to be available to attend the live, it is up for 24 hours, so you can still get your question in there and get it answered. We also now are only 2 weeks out from the City Witch Ritual Retreat, and we have one spot left. And I think for this spot, it could be a share. So if it's you and a friend, technically two, but just one room. So if it's calling to you, book ASAP, because we know it's going to go quickly. And for those of you who haven't heard about it, it's the City Witch Ritual Retreat in East Hampton, October 27th, preceding the Scorpio New Moon. This retreat includes luxury accommodations and a gorgeous home on a private beach, morning yoga, breathwork, Reiki sessions, tarot readings, cacao ceremonies, magical AF gift bags. We have catered, delicious plant-based meals that are also gluten-free. And all of this is for an incredibly affordable price. I keep saying, think Goop and Canyon Ranch vibes for the same price as retreats that are like held in the middle of the woods and bunk beds. So if you feel called to do it. We only have one room left. Again, that could be a shared room if you're bringing a friend, but I would do that ASAP because it's coming up in 2 weeks, the weekend of October 25th through 27th. I will also be working with a few different brands throughout October, doing pop-up tarot readings around Manhattan and Brooklyn. So stay tuned. I'll post those as they're confirmed at CardsEB on Instagram and badassbitchestarot.com. We'll keep you posted for where I will be reading. Thank you guys so much for listening. And as always, stay magical AF.